Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke. All right, the Gospel of Luke. All right, I think they're going to put it on the screen for us. We're going to be in chapter 13. And we're going to be starting in verse 6. And then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree, okay, planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of his vineyard, "For 3 years in a row, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year. I will dig around it. I will fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, cut it down." Now, if the Spirit's moving as thick as I thought he was, maybe I should just read that again and pray. Let's talk about this story for a second. There is a guy who owns the land. He is master over everything on the land. And it's clear that he planted the vineyard. It's also clear that he planted the fig tree on purpose. It was traditional for landowners to have trees of different fruits on their property for different reasons. For those of you who don't know a lot about winemaking, let's use something Good Baptists know something a little more about. Coffee, all right? Why do you think that when you go to Starbucks, there's Ethiopian Sodomo and Colombian and Guatemalan Antigua, and each of them bears notes of lemon or bears notes of floral or bears notes of nuttiness? Why do you think that is? Because of the land and the soil that they're planted on and the things that are around them, okay? There are two plants in the world that act this way, the coffee bean and the grape, okay? The grape and the roots of the grape and the vine can pull off saltiness from the sea, can pull off nuttiness from the ocean, can pull off a very, very moisture from the side of the mountain where it would be moist, or dryness from the side of the mountain that would be dry, okay? That's why people are so passionate about their coffees and their wines the more they get into them, because there are subtle, you've heard this before, subtle notes of different things. This tree was planted intentionally to add to the things around it by bringing forth the fruit intended by the owner. Do we get that? Okay? The owner planted the tree. There's also another character in the story. There is a character who tends to the vineyard, a character whose job it is to support the vine, whose job it is to tend to the vine, whose job it is to prune the vine. It's also his job to prune the tree, correct? There's another character in the story. The tree. The tree. Is the tree a part of the vineyard? Yes. Has the tree grown in some way? Yes. Is the tree producing any fruit? No. Okay. Now, let's talk about the purpose of the landowner and who that is. Who is the landowner in the story? God, okay? God creates all of the things he does with a purpose. If you do not agree with me, then let's go back to Jeremiah. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." Okay? God has plans for you. He has specifically knitted you in your mother's womb and woven into you special gifts, special voices, special ears, special talents, things that you will add to the world, add to the family, add to the church with, okay? God plants them. The Bible also says, the good Lord giveth and what? The good Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The spiritually mature, you're going to hear that word a lot, Christian, will say, blessed am I in the fruitful time and in the barren time. Blessed am I on the mountaintop and in the valley. Okay? The spiritually immature will say, hey, I'm in the valley, don't bother me. The spiritually immature will say, my job is to be on the mountaintops and only on the mountaintops. The spiritually immature will say, hey, leave me alone. Let's talk about the tree. The tree has one job. One job. What is that job? Okay. No other job. Just one job. Let's talk about the guy who is taking care of it. This guy's job is to work hard. This guy's job is to make it possible for the tree to bear fruit. This guy's job is to do some very painful things. Did you know that when you prune a fig tree early on, you literally have to cut half the tree away? Okay, the first winter that it sprouts up and begins to grow branches, the job of the pruner is to cut 50% of it off because there's no fruit yet. And the idea is that all of that that was taken away will now be fed where? In the roots. You cut 50% of it away and it's fed into the roots. All of the food gets forced downward because we all know the stronger the roots, the stronger the... And then as little buds pop out back near the bottom of the branch, you got to go ahead and get rid of them, all right? As offshoots come off the branches, you want to get rid of them. And you're building strong limbs that go out so those limbs can do what? Hold and bear. There was only, this is the part nobody wants to hear. There was only one order given by the landowner in this story. One order. Cut it down. This is the Jesus most people don't want to hear about. I got a former pastor minister nodding at me. This is the Jesus that most people won't sit in church and hear preached about. Oh, graceful, loving, all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It will reach. It will leave the 99. It will save you by amazing grace. And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. He will say there is a narrow road and a broad road. He will say there is a narrow gate and a broad way. He will say, I did not know you. There is a heaven because there is a hell. Period. And in this story, there's one thing that is said. Cut it down. There's a but. Somebody stepped in. Hold tight. Hold tight. Let me prune. Let me dig around the soil. Let me water. Let me drown the bottom of that tree. Let me work the soil around it. Let me cut into those roots. Let me tear off everything. Give me a year. If there's no fruit after a year, cut it down. Hear me. Do you know who the worker is in the story? Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the symbolic workers in the story. Absolutely. But there's a much more practical answer. Do you know who the tree is? Who's the worker? This is the part you're not going to want to hear. The hardest thing that I do, the hardest job that I have, especially because my father is sitting on the third row, especially because my ex is sitting on the seventh row, especially because my wife is sitting on the first row, especially because my sister's sitting on the second row, especially because some of my best friends, the people that I do life with, are on the third row and back by the sound booth. The hardest job I have is to stand in front of any one of you and go, no! What do you mean, no? You're Craig. I want you to call me Craig. I had an incredibly fun and incredibly awkward conversation with Piper the other day. Y'all know Piper? Piper Guardiola. Beautiful kid, obedient kid, incredible kid, right about fifth, sixth grade, all right? She calls me Pastor Craig because her mom and dad call me Pastor Craig. When they call me on the phone, they start with Pastor Craig. When they tell somebody about me, it's Pastor Craig. I cannot force that child to call me anything but Pastor Craig. I looked at her and I said, I don't call you teenager Piper. I don't call you daughter Piper. I don't call you Piper Guardiola. I just call you Piper. She said, and you're Pastor Craig. I ask you to call me Craig. I don't need a title to validate or verify me. That decision in and of itself comes with some issues. I put myself where I think I need to be, right alongside you. I'm the first one to tell you I'm going to make a mistake. I stand up in Coffee and Covenant and say to you, if you need a perfect pastor, go away. I am very clear the problems that I have. Ask my family. Ask my friends. I know. On the same token, I am called, gifted, and sent by God as a prophet, the same as Paul or the same as Jeremiah, to you. And my job is to make sure that you are producing fruit. It is not to let you stay where you are. I'm going to say it again. My job is not to allow you to stay where you are. My job is not to let you explain to me why you think you need to be able or not able to do something or not do it. My job is not for you to be able to politicize or financialize or throw yourself out before me as the godly doer that you are and then say, so I get to choose not to do this, not to follow this, and to live like this. You don't get that choice because I do not have a choice. I cannot let you stay the way that you are. Why? Cut it down. That would kill me. My marriage is going away. I know. My children are head. No. I'm not going. No. No, no, no. So what does fruit look like? What does it look like? Y'all want to make a list? Do you want to make a list of what bearing fruit on a daily basis looks like? Are you bearing any? Let me give you some lines that have been said to me. Some lines that have been said to me. Look, if this is you, I am not targeting. It's a bad rule in football, and it's a bad idea in here. All right? I'm not targeting. Just hear me out. Things that have been said to me. Hey, I love Jesus. I don't need to come to church. Hey, I'm there twice a month. Get off my back. Hey, stop asking me about small groups. Hey, I'll give as soon as I get my budget in order. Hey, I'll serve when I have time. Listen to me. Fruitless. Craig, you don't get to say that. What do you mean I don't get to say that? Let's have this conversation. I'm a tree. Don't cut that. Why? Don't cut that. I'm going to cut it so that you grow. I don't want you to cut that. There are other trees on this land that aren't cut. And to be honest with you, I like the way I am. Don't judge me for how I am. Don't judge me because my limb bends this way and not this. Don't judge me because I have an extra branch out there. Don't judge me because God made my roots a little shallow. Don't judge me because there's a bunch of people like me who think we ought to stay just like this. Here's the problem. I don't care how many people think they ought to be fruitless. They weren't created to be fruitless. The Creator made you one way. That's the end of the discussion. No matter how many banners you carry, how many rallies you have, how many excuses you make, or how many people think they ought to have it. If the Creator didn't say it, it ain't meant to be, period. Fruitless. If the only time you're going to do something is when you have the money or when you have the time, you're not going to do anything at all. And I will not, as hard as it is, stop asking. Most of those people, if they're in this room who said any of those lines to me, if they'll think back, had me look right back at them and say, I will not. Hey, stop coming to me about serving. I will not. Right back at them. I will not. Why? I want fruit from you. Not for me. For you. For the Creator. For the essence that it leaves in the vineyard. For the flavor and aroma it adds to the kingdom. Your fruit changes. And attending and making excuses and staying the way you are is an abomination to the one who made you. It is wrong, and I will not apologize for saying so. If you want a pastor, a children's minister, a worship leader, and small group leaders who will nod their heads, agree with you, make sure that everyone is comfortable, and allow you to stay where you are, stop coming here. If you want a place that prunes, challenges, goes head to head in the face of adversity, admits failures, celebrates victories, and says fruit is where it's at, welcome home. But choose, please, because you and I are both be miserable otherwise. I will fall in love with you, and I will try to prune you, and you will slap back at me like that stupid tree on Harry Potter. You know what? That's what some of y'all are, and you know it. You the wampin' willow. Leave me alone! That's funny right there. Anybody notice how much fruit's on that tree? I love you. But let me be clear. Jesus will spend all the effort he can on you. And then he will go, why should I let this person have? Why should I let this person do? What? He explains it by saying this, why should I let this tree take up any more nutrients out of my soil when another tree will take those nutrients and do something with them? This parable is echoed by the parable of the talents, isn't it? What are you doing with what you have been given? And if someone else sees you, do you have fruit? And do you trust the one set aside to help you, to prune you, to water you, to grow you, to do so? Those of you who are my friends, keep me accountable to that, no matter what it costs me. Please. Because I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, for me and for you. And I do not want to hear, cut it down, when it comes to the family that I love so much. Let's pray. God, you promise us that your word will not return void, and we believe that. God, it is an amazing thing to watch the growth that is happening inside individuals in our church family. It is an amazing thing to watch the health of this place come around as the battles crop up, as the storms rise up in our church, to watch the word, to watch the fruit, to watch the battle against the demons and the battle against the flesh and blood, to rise up against the battle of the Spirit working at NBC on Main, and to see those problems flesh themselves out, and for Jesus to stand and for us to push forward as a family. God, I'm thankful for that. But I pray right now that you start pruning through me, through your Holy Spirit, through small group leaders, through Spencer, through Stephen, through Preston, through Cy. I pray that you prune, and I pray that it hurts, because that hurt will bring healing, that healing will bring growth, that growth will bring fruit, that fruit will spread seed, that seed will bring more fruit. I pray overwhelmingly that this happens in each life and in the life of our church family. In Jesus' name, amen.